So the handout I'm passing out right now is really just AEO 9 session from the book, copyright Creative Commons. So in most web questions, I'm not hearing because of the paper shuffling. Yes. Well, how they're linked? Well, they're just two. Right now, they're just two fields on a form, and we don't have any databases or anything right now. We'll get to that. We'll get to making databases in the next assignment. So right now, we're just playing a guessing game. It's like our guessing game that the number 42 was stored deeply in the guessing game, and we just guessed 42, and the guess never changed. The password on this is always going to be secret on this account. So they're not particularly linked. It's really just a guessing game. So the learning objective for this is to learn how sessions work, not particularly how to build ID password systems. So sessions on virtually every web framework that you'll encounter are actually built in. PHP, Java, Ruby on Rails. You don't have to write the code for sessions. Sessions are just there for you automatically. When you write a PHP application, the cookies getting set, the session's getting made, all that's taken care of for you. You just store data in your session, and the link between the cookie and the session is not your responsibility. So you basically treat the session like a dictionary. The key to this dictionary, it's different for each user. So when you're in the server, at the beginning of a GET or a POST request in your controller code, you basically have to establish the session. You call a utility to say, make the session exist. Now, the key to session is you got to keep them small. You got to keep cookies small, you got to keep sessions small, because you're going to store this data for every single user that's logged into your system. And don't store data from databases and too much stuff. Only focus on data that is going to be used on almost every incoming request, like the key of the current user or the email address of the current user, and they have to have a way of being expired. So the kinds of things that you tend to find in session is some indication of who the current logged in user is, the login and logout process, and sometimes, like if you go to eBay and you want to have a shopping cart, or Amazon and they want to have a shopping cart, they'll often say, you're not logged in, but you can make a shopping cart with up to 10 items. What they're doing is they're actually storing your items in cookies there. But if you have, once you're logged in, they'll store a larger shopping cart in your session. So, we have some code. It turns out that App Engine doesn't come with a built-in session. I never really asked why they didn't. Probably because it could have performance implications. So we had to write our own session. And so we have to add some code in. And you don't have to worry too much about this code. But the first step of adding sessions to your application is you've got to add some utility code. So you add some utility code. Oops. So you go to this URL, appenginelearn.com, downloads util.zip, unzip it, and put it in your folder. And you should see three files. Put it in a folder called util right next to your templates folder. Our application is getting more complex. We're putting more stuff in it, which is kind of cool. It'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we'll just add a little bit at a time. You can look at this if you want. Chapter 11 talks a bit about the mechanisms that are used in this. That's why I put it in Chapter 11. Because the publisher decided that what was going on inside this folder was too complex to make Chapter 8 or something. So it's now Chapter 11. So don't worry about this. You don't have to read it. Just get it in there and put it in. Okay? You can look at it if you want, but you don't need to look at it. You don't need to write it. It's something I wrote, and you can use. So this is how you use the session. So from util.sessions import session, that's sort of Python stuff. We're going to pull a module in. The import is Python's way of extending, you know, grabbing a library of code and bringing it in. And I said that the first thing we're going to do in any method, like a get method in the logout handler, I'll start with logout handler because it's simpler, is to establish the session. And so we simply call self.session equals session. This is establishing the session. This actually does lots of stuff, and you can go look at the code. This might actually send a cookie. This might create a data structure for the session. This might look at the cookie and look up a data structure for the session. All the things of making a session object and getting a cookie properly set in the browser are all taken care of in this library code, and you don't worry about it. Whether it's the first request or the second request or the 50th request, you don't care. You get your session. If the session has data in it, you get it back. Then the session operates pretty much like a dictionary at this point. And so it's got a key value pairs, and so in this case I'm going to delete anything under the key username. Now why I'm doing this, we'll have to see the login process. All I'm showing is that at the beginning of every method you establish the session, and then throughout the method you do stuff to the session. So we store who's logged in the session, not the cookie. The cookie tells the utility code which session to look up. So if we were to look inside the session code, there is a session cookie. You can look at it with Firefox. If the cookie exists and the session exists, it looks up the session and gives it to you. If not, it picks a large random number as the session key. It makes a session, sets a temporary cookie in the browser, a session cookie in the browser with the key as its value. And like I said, it's all discussed in chapter 11. You do not have to look inside of it. For now, it's probably best you don't. Okay, so the login logout pattern is we're going to put a variable. It's the session is like a dictionary. We're going to put a variable in called username. And that's going to be the username of the current logged in user, like Sam or Sally or whatever I was using. If there is nothing in that session under username, we assume the user's logged out. If the key is present, then that who is the account of the current logged in user, like CSEV or whatever. So this is the code for the post for the login. And this is very similar to what we had in this other one. So I mentioned that in each method, the first thing you do is establish the session. Again, this does lots of stuff, but you don't have to worry about it. All you know is that when you come out of here, you've got a session. From the last program, we grab the account and the password, and we check it. We're going to do a delete of the session, the variable username in the session, because we want to log out the previous user if you're logged in, so that the act of logging in kind of pre-logs you out. And then we have the code to say, oh, I'm unhappy because you've got a blank, or I'm incorrect password, or if the password is secret, which is the good thing, then I say self.session username. This is really functioning now like a dictionary, is ACCT, and of course ACCT is the string that came in from the form. And so the side effect of a proper login is in the session under the variable username, you will get the current logged in user. So again, if you do the steps I say, then you just have to put these three lines in to your post method. And to review, that's what logout does. Logout says get the current session and delete the username entry from the current session. So So the next thing we've got to do is we've got to make this login button flip and turn into a log out button if the session, if there is a person logged in, we want to give them a logged out button. If they're not logged in, we want to give them a login button. So we want this button to change. And if they're logged in, we want the log out button also to show their name. So, now we're going to do, again, this should be in front of you. We're going to do a little bit different look of this template language. We're going to create another render variable. Remember, that's the dictionary we pass into the render method. Another render variable named username. And if username is none, they're not logged in, then do what we did before, give them a login with selected and have the text be login. And then there's an else clause for this if equal. And if the username is not none, then give them a URL for slash logout with the word logout and then poke in there the username from the render variables. Okay? So this is both flipping between the login and the logout button and putting the username in parentheses on the logout. Any questions? Okay, yeah? Well, okay, the best way to explain this crazy templating syntax is everything except a curly brace is mere text. Curly brace is the start and the end of an active piece. So that's why the ifs, the else, the end if, and the username thing starts with a curly brace. The difference is that curly brace percent is part of their logic. You're doing some logic there. And curly brace means print whatever's in this render variable. That's just, we haven't done that for a while. That's just it. I mean, you could color this differently, but that basically really everything except the things between the curly braces is just crud that's going to come out from the template. That the template is irrelevant. It looks through this template looking for open curly braces and ignores everything else. Okay, so then what we've got to do is we've got to come up with this username and we've got to put it in the render variables. Remember, the render variables are that dictionary that we pass into the render call. Okay, so do you remember the doRender method that we did that we added to login so that we do all our rendering in the same place? So the way we do this is this, we are already grabbing the path and we're putting it in the dictionary. We're making a copy of if there's any values that are coming in. If the path is not already in the dictionary, we throw the request path in so that our little selected bit works. And we check to see if the string username is one of the keys in our dictionary. If it's not, then we go grab the session. And if the username is in it, then we add to the render variables under username the username from the session. So we copy the session username into our render variables. Hang on. So that's what that orange bit does. Is it copies? Copies the username variable from the session into the render variables. And then we pass the whole template in.